Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It's Wednesday, June 1st. We are starting the last month of the first half of, so the year is flying by. Today is the last day of school for the Superior School District. So if you are a student at the Superior School District and did not graduate a week and a half ago, you've got an hour to get to school. So get moving. Last day of school. I'm not sure if it's an early out today or not. Like I said, I'm not on the schedule, so I haven't paid attention. My last bus trip was Friday, and that's done and gone. So I have moved on and sliding into summer, where I have a busy summer schedule. Tomorrow, after the podcast, so we will be live tomorrow. But then tomorrow after the podcast, I'm hopping in the car. Heading up to Sandpoint to attend a conference, and I have no idea what the name of the conference is, at Kootenai Bible Church in Sandpoint. My friends Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker are the hosts or the guests, the speakers of the event. So I'm looking forward to seeing them and looking forward to seeing Pastor Jim and probably a bunch of other people I know up there. So that'll be a fun time. About 3 hours away, so we got a nice drive tomorrow. All right, well, Squirrel Chatter is a podcast that is primarily dedicated to the public reading of Scripture, and we are reading the entire Bible in the Legacy Standard Bible Translation. Our scriptures today are going to be 1 Kings 2, 1 Chronicles 27, and we are a proud member of the Christian Podcast Community. You can head on over to christianpodcastcommunity.com, check out all the great curated podcasts that are over there. New podcasts are being added all the time. There are over 50. I should probably get a count one to figure out how many there are, but you know what? That's Andrew's problem, not mine. I'm just one of them. But there's good stuff over there. You're sure to find something good. It's worth listening to. The podcast that Richard and Chris did just the other day on Christians and gun control in the wake of last week's shooting was excellent listening. I got to listen to that yesterday. So I would commend that to you, and there's always good stuff on there. And Andrew says that I never promote his personal podcasts, so listen to the Rap Report. It's good stuff, too. He's been doing a systematic theology, that going through different doctrines, not quite the way I'm doing the Theology Thursday. We're going through like doctrinal statement. He's going through systematic theology, and I honestly don't. He's probably mentioned it, but it didn't stick in my head what theological resources he's using. He's probably using them as I would if I were, you know, preaching or teaching that subject. I've got two shelves of systematic theologies down over here. I've got MacArthur, I've got Ryrie, I've got Frame, Smalley, Burkhoff, Coles. I've got a lot of theology, and some of them are just a little bit too far away to read the spines of the books. And it's always good to have multiple systematic theologies in review. If you're looking for a single one volume, you know, you're not a preacher, you're not a Bible teacher, and you just want to have a good reference. They put out a shorter version, a more popular level of the MacArthur Biblical Theology. All print on the spine, but I'll put a link to that in the show notes. If that would be the one I would recommend if you want a systematic theology as a reference. And like I said, you're not a Bible teacher, you're not a Sunday school. Run into something, you want to be able to look it up, and it's a good one. All right, well, let's begin as we always do with our prayer of confession, 52 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. And now our prayer for the reading. Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm still having that allergy throat. The pollen is thick in the air here in the piney woods this time of year. 1 Kings 2. Then David's time to die drew near, so he commanded Solomon his son, saying, I am going the way of all the earth, so you shall be strong and be a man, and you shall keep the responsibility given by Yahweh your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, according to what is written in the law of Moses, that you may be prosperous in all that you do and wherever you turn, so that Yahweh may establish his promise which he spoke concerning me, saying, If your sons keep their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not have a man cut off from the throne of Israel. Now you also know that Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, to Abner the son of Ner, and to Amasa the son of Jether, whom he killed. He also shed the blood of war and peace, and he put the blood of war on his belt around his waist and on his sandals on his feet. So act according to your wisdom, and do not let his gray hair go down to Sheol in peace, but show loving kindness to the sons of Barzillai the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table, for they assisted me when I fled from Absalom your brother. Behold, there is with you Shimei the son of Gera the Benjaminite of Bihurim. Now it was he who cursed me with a violent curse on the day that I went to Mahanaim. But when he came down to me at the Jordan, I swore to him by Yahweh, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. So now do not let him go unpunished, for you are a wise man, and you will know what you ought to do to him. And you will bring his gray hair down to Sheol with blood. Then David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the time which David reigned over Israel was 40 years. In Hebron he reigned 7 years, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. And Solomon sat on the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established. Then Adonijah the son of Haggith came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and she said, Do you come peacefully? And he said, Peacefully. Then he said, I have something to say to you. And she said, Speak. So he said, You know that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel expected me to be king. However, the kingdom has turned about and become my brother's, for it was his from Yahweh. So now I am making one request of you. Do not turn me away. And she said to him, Speak. Then he said, Please speak to Solomon the king, for he will not turn you away, that he may give me Abishag the Shunammite as a wife. And Bathsheba said, Very well, I will speak to the king for you. So Bathsheba went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king arose to meet her, and bowed before her, and sat on his throne. Then he had a throne set for the king's mother, and she sat on his right. Then she said, I am making one small request of you, do not turn me away. And the king said to her, Ask my mother, for I will not turn you away. So she said, Let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah your brother as a wife. Then King Solomon answered and said to his mother, And why are you asking Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him also the kingdom, for he is my older brother, even for him, for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zeruiah. Then King Solomon swore to Yahweh, saying, May God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah has not spoken this word against his own life. So now, as Yahweh lives, who has established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who has made me a house as he promised, surely Adonijah shall be put to death today. So King Solomon sent Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him so that he died. Then to Abiathar the priest the king said, Go to Anathoth to your field, for you deserve to die, but I will not put you to death at this time, because you carried the ark of the Lord Yahweh before my father David, and because you were afflicted in everything with which my father was afflicted. So Solomon drove Abiathar away from being priest to Yahweh, in order to fulfill the word of Yahweh, which he had spoken concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. Now the news came to Joab, for Joab had followed Adonijah, although he had not followed Absalom. And Joab fled to the tent of Yahweh and took hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told to King Solomon that Joab had fled to the tent of Yahweh. And behold, he is beside the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, saying, Go, fall upon him. So Benaiah came to the tent of Yahweh and said to him, Thus the king has said, Come out. But he said, No, for I will die here. Then Benaiah brought the king word again, saying, Thus spoke Joab, and thus he answered me. And the king said to him, Do as he has spoken, and fall upon him and bury him, that you may remove from me and from my father's house the blood which Joab shed without cause. And Yahweh will return his blood on his own head, because he fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and killed them with the sword. But my father David did not know it. Abner the son of Ner, commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, commander of the army of Judah. So shall their blood return on the head of Joab, and on the head of his seed forever. But to David and his seed and his house and his throne may there be peace from Yahweh forever. Then Benaiah the son of Jehoiada went up and fell upon him and put him to death, and he was buried at his own house in the wilderness. And the king appointed Benaiah the son of Jehoiada over the army in his place, and the king appointed Zadok the priest in the place of Abiathar. Then the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, Build for yourself a house in Jerusalem and live there, and do not go out from there to any place. Now it will be on the day that you go out and cross over the brook Kedron that you will know for certain that you shall surely die. Your blood shall be on your head. Shimei then said to the king, The word is good. As my lord the king has said, so your servant will do. So Shimei lived in Jerusalem many days. But it happened at the end of 3 years that two of the slaves of Shimei ran away to Achish, the son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, Behold, your slaves are in Gath. Then Shimei arose and saddled his donkey and went to Gath to Achish to search for his slaves. And Shimei went and brought his slaves from Gath. And it was told to Solomon that Shimei had gone from Israel to Gath and had returned. So the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, Did I not make you swear by Yahweh and solemnly warn you, saying, You will know for certain that on the day you go out and go anywhere, you shall surely die? And you said to me, The word which I have heard is good. Why then? Have you not kept the oath of Yahweh and the command which I have commanded? The king also said to Shimei, You know all the evil which you acknowledge in your heart, which you did to my father David. Therefore Yahweh shall surely return your evil on your own head. But King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before Yahweh forever. So the king commanded Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and he went out and fell upon him so that he died. Thus the kingdom was established in the hands of Solomon. 1 Chronicles. Then King David said to the entire assembly, My son Solomon, who alone God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced, and the work is great. For the temple is not for man, but for Yahweh God. Now with all my power I have prepared for the house of my God the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, the wood for the things of wood, onyx stones and inlaid stones, stones of antimony, and stones of various colors, and all kinds of precious stones and alabaster in abundance. Moreover, in my pleasure in the house of my God, the treasure I have of gold and silver, I give to the house of my God, over and above all that I have already prepared for the holy place, namely 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the buildings, of gold for the things of gold and of silver for the things of silver, that is, for all the work done by the hand of a craftsman. Who then would offer willingly to ordain himself this day to Yahweh? Then the commanders of his father's households and the commanders of the tribes of Israel and the commanders of thousands and of hundreds with the commanders of the king's work offered willingly. And for the service of the house of God they gave 5,000 talents and 10,000 derricks of gold and 10,000 talents of silver and 18,000 talents of brass and 100,000 talents of iron. And whoever possessed precious stone gave them to the treasury of the house of Yahweh in the care of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people were glad because they had offered so willingly, for they made their freewill offering to Yahweh with a whole heart. And King David also was exceedingly glad. So David blessed Yahweh in the sight of all the assembly. And David said, "Blessed are you, O Yahweh, the God of Israel our father, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Yahweh, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the kingdom, O Yahweh, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. So now, our God, we are thanking you and praising your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer as willingly as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. For we are sojourners before you and foreign residents, like all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Yahweh our God, all this abundance that we have prepared to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand, and all is yours. And I know, O my God, that you will try the heart and delight in uprightness. I, in the uprightness of my heart, have willingly offered all these things. So now with gladness I have seen your people, who are present here, make their offerings willingly to you. O Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intentions of the heart of your people, and prepare their heart to you. And give to my son Solomon a whole heart, to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do them all, and to build the temple for which I have made preparation." Then David said to all the assembly, "Now bless Yahweh your God." And all the assembly blessed Yahweh, the God of their fathers, and bowed low and prostrated themselves to Yahweh and to the king. And on the next day they made sacrifices to Yahweh and offered burnt offerings to Yahweh, 1,000 bulls, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs, with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. So they ate and drank that day before Yahweh with great gladness. And they made Solomon, the son of David, king a second time, and they anointed him as ruler for Yahweh and Zadok as priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of Yahweh as king instead of David his father, and he succeeded, and all Israel obeyed him. And all the officials, the mighty men, and also the sons of King David, pledged allegiance to King Solomon. And Yahweh highly exalted Solomon in the sight of all Israel, and granted to him royal majesty which had not been on any king before him in Israel. Now David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel, and the time which he reigned over Israel was 40 years. In Hebron he reigned 7 years, and in Jerusalem 33 years. Then he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and glory, and his son Solomon became king in his place. Now the acts of King David, from the first to the last, behold, they are written in the chronicles of Seer, in the chronicles of Nathan the prophet, and in the chronicles of Gad the seer, with all his reign, his might, and the circumstances which came on him, on Israel, and on all the kingdoms. Chapter 7. Or do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is master over a person as long as he lives? For the married woman has been bound by law to her husband while he is living, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to other men, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. So, my brothers, you also were made to die to the law according to the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions, which were aroused by the law, were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died so that by which we were constrained, having died to that by which we were constrained, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. Rather, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, worked out in me coveting of every kind. For apart from the law, sin is dead. Now I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And this commandment, which was to lead to life, was found to lead to death for me. For sin, taking an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin, in order that it might be shown to be sin by working out my death through that which is good, so that through the commandment sin would become utterly sinful. For we know that the law is spirit, but I am fleshly, having been sold into bondage under sin. For what I am working out I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now, no longer am I the one working it out, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the working out of the good is not. For the good that I want I do not do, but I practice the very evil I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one working it out, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that in me evil is present, in me who wants to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in my members, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a captive to the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. Word of the Lord. Now the apostles. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And now the Collect for Grace. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings may be ordered by thy governance to do always that is righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right. Kind of doing a Monday meandering on Wednesday today. I got a couple of to bring up. First of them was something that happened over the weekend that was rather amusing to me. A Harvard grad went viral for walking out on Merrick Garland's graduation. So this was kind of fun. This woman, Emma Heusner, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It's Heusser. It'd be Heusner in German, if my German pronunciation. Gosh, I took German a long time ago. I took 2 years of German in high school, and then I took 2 semesters of German in college. And I was actually fairly fluent by the end of my time in college. When I was in college, I worked as a desk clerk at a motel in town. And I remember we had a German father and daughter were, she was probably 17, 18, and they were touring the United States together. And I gave them directions to their hotel room in, and then they came down to the lobby. They wanted to practice their English. I wanted to practice my. And so when things quieted down and then the evening rush was over and most of the guests were checked in, they came down to the lobby and we chatted for about an hour or so. And I was doing fairly well with my German. But that was 40 years. It's all faded away. I remember very little of it. Anyway. Emma Heusner walks out of her graduation at Harvard, and she tweeted and said, "Just walked out of Harvard's graduation because I didn't want to listen to Merrick Garland talk about himself for 30 minutes. Now, she is the social media director for the Daily Caller, so she's not a political, she's not politically unaffiliated. She's definitely a conservative. And you have to wonder, since when did they allow conservatives to go to Harvard? I'm kind of shocked. But so in Garland's commencement address, he talked about the January 6th events at the Capitol. He talked about, you know, the 2020 election fair and free and all that stuff. You know, he didn't talk about gas prices. He didn't talk about inflation. He didn't talk about the ridiculously high cost of degree from Harvard. But he talked about election integrity and the events of January 6th from a liberal. So she got up and walked out. I think that's awesome. More power to you. Good luck, Emma. We'll just let her move on with her life, and brought a smile to me. The other thing is that today in 19, CNN launched. And so 42 years ago, is that right? Yeah, 42 years, CNN launched. And with the launch of CNN came the launch of the 24-hour news. You know, before television, even before radio, print was the way that news was disseminated. And it took time. Reporters had to gather the information, go back to the newsroom, write up their thing. It went to the editor. It came back from the editor. Changes were made. It went to the typesetter. Typesetter had to set it. The next morning, it would come out in print. Now, some bigger newspapers did have an afternoon edition, but you didn't have this immediacy. There was a time to think and reflect and gather information that doesn't really hold up today. With the birth of the 24-hour news cycle became the birth of the hot take, where people immediately offer opinions and analysis on an event. Take just this recent tragedy in Uvalde, Texas. The first thing we heard coming out of Texas was about the heroic Border Patrol agent who left the barber shop and ran into the school and killed the gunman. Now we learn that police officers were outside in the hallway of the classroom while this butcher was killing children for 79 minutes. Would you think about that? 79 minutes. And the SWAT team which was a Border Patrol SWAT team, that finally went in and took the guy out, had been there for half an hour, and they had been told to stand down. And they finally said, no, we're not standing down, and they went in and took care of business. Oh, how much I wish they had done that when they first arrived. But it took a while. You know, we're still getting information. It's taking forever. The school district has its own police, but apparently it's a Texas thing. And now, I'm not sure that the school district controls the police department, or if the school district and the police department's jurisdiction are the same. I'm not sure. Like I said, it's a Texas thing. It's not anything I'm used to. Around here, we have municipal police departments, county sheriffs, and then we have the highway patrol. So they had this, you know, the police chief of the school district police department. Everything he said that first day turns out to be a lie. And funny, he's not giving any statements to anybody. He's not even talking to the FBI, who's trying to investigate what happened. So he made all these false statements the first day that the shooting occurred, and now he is hiding. Well, that just tells you that he did something wrong and he knows it. There need to be resurrections. There need to be resignations. There needs to be consequences for failing to act. And we know now that they did not follow protocol. They did not do what they were supposed to do, because the protocol ever since Columbine, which was 20 some odd years ago, I don't know the exact date, but ever since Columbine, the protocol has been, you confront a shooter in a school right away. If you're alone, you go in alone. You go after them. And that's been the protocol from, like I said, from the time of Columbine. They didn't do that in Parkland. And there were resignations. They didn't do it here. So we've had police not following their own protocols. The, you know, building, the door that the gunman entered through was not locked as it should have been. And I'm seeing questions now about that. At first they were saying that a teacher had propped it open. Now they're saying it just failed to properly latch after the teacher came in that door. I'm not sure what the deal is. But the door was not locked. So we need schools with single points of entry. We need armed personnel in the school. If there are students present, there need to be armed personnel there also. Personally, I'm of the opinion that you allow every teacher and every school employee who wants to be trained and armed. Make them run through a qualification course. Make them run through the same use of force and shooting course that police officers do. I was once a licensed armed guard in the state of Montana, and I worked armed security. I had to run through the same shooting thing that everybody else did. I think it was just funny. I just found Mrs. Squirrel and I went to the range, and I was digging through my range bag because I needed to pull some stuff out of it before, because, you know, I didn't take everything with me, just what I needed. And in the bottom of the range, I found the my shooting course scores, or my qualification scores, both written and shooting, from 1999 and from 2000. And so that was a fun time. Okay, quick story about that 2000 shooting course. My written score was 98%. My range score was 99%. And I placed the highest on the range that year in that class. Well, at that same time, my father had wanted to get a concealed weapon permit. And in Montana, you have to have taken a firearm safety class, a formal class. Well, most of us, gun people, for minor children, I think 12 is the age you can start hunting with a rifle. Don't quote me on that. This is just off memory. But I remember being about 12 or so, I had to take a hunter safety class. Because if you are a minor, you have to take a hunter safety class in order to get a hunting license. And so for most of us who grew up in Montana who took hunter safety, that hunter safety class, even, 30, 40, 50 years later, that is sufficient to meet that qualification of taking a gun safety class in order to get your concealed weapon. Well, Dad, of course, was in his 30s when we... He didn't have to take a hunter safety class, nor did he hunt, so he didn't. But he wanted to get a concealed weapon permit, and he had to take a shooting course. And so I talked to my boss. We had a course coming up, and I needed to qualify. We had guards who needed, and I talked to my boss, and I said, "Hey, my dad needs to take a course. Can he go through the course with those of us who need to qualify?" And my boss was like, "Yeah, sure." So Dad attended. It was a 2-day course. We spent 1 day in the classroom, and then we spent 1 day on the range. I think it's a 10-hour class that was required by them. And it's the same sort of qualification course that police officers, it's a standardized of fire for your, at various ranges and various things. And the funny thing is I was using a semi-automatic. I was actually using a 45, 1911 45 government, but you had to load your magazines with 6 rounds because the course could be run with either a pistol or a revolver. And of course, you go back to the 80s, even the early 90s, police officers routinely carried revolvers. You didn't see semi-autos with the prevalence that they have today among law enforcement. You had police officers carrying revolvers. And so this course was designed for revolvers. But you could run it with a semi-automatic. You just had to, you loaded your magazine with 6 rounds because that's what a, so every course of fire were 6 rounds or 12 rounds because we had reload, you know, drills. And well, my dad had a Smith & Wesson 357 Magnum revolver. That was what he was going to qualify with. And so he had gone to the police supply place. He, the guy that owned the police supply place in Missoula, because dad had remodeled his store a couple of times. So we knew the guy. So I bought several holsters. It was before Amazon, before you could order things by mail. So some of the equipment, you know, especially as an armed guard, I bought through police supply. But dad went and got a couple of speed loaders and a belt case. So he had his speed loaders on his belt and he had 357 Magnum. So he went through the course with me and he and I placed 1 and 2 in the class. I barely edged him out. I had a 99, he had a 98. We both beat all the other students. So that was just a fun, that's a fun memory of me and my dad taking that class together. And of course I had run the, you know, I had been taking it for years because you had an armed guard license. But dad took that class. Just fun memories. It came across my shooting score certificate in the bottom of my rig, just stuffed it in there when we were done. And it's probably been in there for 20 years, 22 years at the bottom of that range. Fun times, fun memories. All right, folks, it's Wednesday. I got a busy day today. You probably have a busy day today. Get on with your day. Remember, please do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to. And whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. See you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.